Let's talk to our friend Don Jackson Blattner, the author, the registered dietitian and nutritionist. You can follow her at DJ Blattner on Instagram, but I won't. Hey, Don, how are you? Welcome back.
Hey, how are you? Great, great, great to be here.
Only because I don't follow anybody, but were I to, you might be why I get on Instagram, Don.
Oh my gosh, you know how I've been working on this every week and you have been adamant. You are like, no, 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 but I love to hear that I'm slowly whittling you down.
Well, because you are whittling me down with good nutritional advice. Let's talk about soups for a minute today.
Yes, I actually did not want to talk to you about soups a few weeks ago when it was not officially fall, but now that it's officially fall, I'm into it.
So give me some ideas. Like, you're probably going to say, don't use beef or sausage. Always substitute with beans. How about that?
No. You know what? I like a little bit. I'm what you call a flexitarian. So I'm a flexible vegetarian. So that basically means I'm not for all meat all day, but I like the idea of meat and beans. You know, meat is so flavorful, but beans add fiber and plant protein. So the two of them can, you know, co-create in your soup some magic, you know. So I'm for both of them. I call it more of that 50-50 blend. So instead of, you know, it has to be an all meat soup, it's like meat and beans, you know. But when you come to talk about soup, you cannot ignore the number one topic in this is, what's your broth, baby? Because soup is broth, right? So what are you using as your base? And so the big thing for me is making sure that people are using either low sodium broth, or that you use a regular broth and then water it down a little bit with just good old-fashioned water, like a 50-50 blend. And then there's something new on the market you could also consider, and that's bone broth. Bone broth has more protein than a typical broth. So if you're looking to sort of bump up your protein in your diet, you can add a little bit of bone broth to, you know, the base of your soup. But that's really the key when it comes to soup, is like, look at that broth and make sure you're not making something that's super, super salty.
Do you like the low-sodium chicken broth? Is that the kind you go with?
Yep, low-sodium chicken. Or, I mean, depending on what kind of soup, it might be a low-sodium veggie broth. Or, I mean, again, I love mixes. So I might use a little bit of a chicken bone broth, a little bit of low-sodium veggie broth, and just, like, sort of have fun with that base. But, again, making sure that it's not, you know, just loaded with sodium. And, you know, you mentioned beans. One of my hot tips when it comes to soup is making it creamy with pureed white beans. Yeah. So a lot of times people love, you know, that creamy mouthfeel of soup, so they add cream or they add like other thickeners like flour or butter. But if you puree a can of white beans, it is an awesome addition to make your soup creamy. But, you know, again, getting that extra fiber and plant protein.
Kind of like using cauliflower as a substitute for other kinds of dishes, rice and whatnot.
Come on, I know you now. I'm not going to try and say cauliflower too much on this show because I know how you feel about it.
It's another thing I don't do, but I've seen it done, and I go, wow, you're doing that. It's not for me, but maybe I'll listen. I'm trying to come along. In fact, get a load of this. I know somebody who's counting calories, trying to lose weight and losing weight and isn't eating as much. And I was thinking, okay, what can you get for meat? That because it's about cutting carbs, protein is good, like a lean chicken breast is good. And then I thought maybe a steak would be good if it was a New York, if it was a strip steak, because there's not as much marbling in that. And I wondered what you would think about the wisdom of just having steak, you know, without a baguette, say, for somebody who's trying to cut calories.
Yes, I'll tell you what the key trick to all of it is if you put away all the fads and all the drama, the simple answer to losing weight in a healthy, balanced way is to change your ratios at mealtime. I don't know why people aren't talking more about ratios. Ratios is literally the secret weapon. And that means, yes, you can cut down on your carbs, but you don't have to cut them out. So if you enjoy a little bit of pasta or bread or rice or quinoa or whatever, you can still have it, but much less than us Americans typically eat. It's more of a side dish, that 25% visually when you look at your plate. And then when it comes to protein, absolutely. You enjoy steak, go for it. Pork chops, chicken, or beans, you can go plant protein. But again, not too much, even though people feel like, oh, you could eat as much protein as you want. that too is more of a side dish. And then guess what the rest of your plate is? Veggies, 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 because they're low in calories, but they're loaded with nutrients so that it can energize your cells. So it's basically eat what you love to eat and just make sure it's in the right ratios. More vegetables, less of the carbs, and make sure there's always a protein.
My son made a soup the other day, vegetarian soup, with like tomatoes, onions, lemon zest, and maybe some white beans were in there. And I'm like, what is this? It was delicious. And the beans gave it a little chomp too, you know? So it didn't feel like you were eating somebody's vegetarian thing. It felt hearty. You know what I mean?
Yes, I love that. And actually, you bring up such a good point. So in addition to soup, paying attention to the broth and, you know, adding creaminess with pureed white beans, making sure you're bulking up the veggies. That's the whole point of why soup is so good for you, is that you can do so many vegetables in there, like peppers and onions and kale and tomato and spinach and butternut squash, all of those things.
Yeah.
So I love the sound of your soup. And you know what? You mentioned a very important thing. You can get a lot of nutrition with toppers. So like you had that lemon zest on your soup as a topper. It could be fresh lemon juice or lime juice for vitamin C. You could put swirls in there of like Greek yogurt on top, or olive oil drizzle, or balsamic vinegar, which is actually great for blood sugar. You could sprinkle cilantro, chives, parsley, green onions for extra nutrition. You can even top your soup with crunchy things like pumpkin seeds or popcorn. That is actually a whole grain. So don't forget that the nutrition is not only in your soup, but you can have a lot of fun and even more nutrition with, you know, some sprinkles, some squeezes, some swirls, and some crunch on top.
Don Jackson Blattner, 312-981-7200. If you want to call or text real quick, it's 119. We'll have it for a few more minutes after a quick break. I'm trying to remember what it was, a sandwich I was eating, and it had some green like kale that was kind of cooked and then put in there as a little crunch or substance to the sandwich. And I thought, when we do that, does that sort of devalue the nutritional or health value of it because I've cooked it now? Don Jackson Blattner, the author, registered dietitian, nutritionist, a flexitarian. You can follow her at donjacksonblattner.com. Do we, when we cook greens, devalue them, Don?
No. And here is the scariest thing. 9 out of 10 people do not eat enough vegetables. So bottom line is, any way you eat them is better than not eating them, for sure. And a good rule of thumb is 50% cooked, 50% raw. So when you look over your, say, even month or week, you know, say, hey, you know, am I only eating raw? Hey, throw in some cooked, because sometimes cooking can actually bring out some extra nutrients and some phytonutrients in there. And if you say, oh my gosh, all I eat is cooked, then, you know, I say, hey, I need to add some raw here. So you really do like a mix of those two, both raw and cooked. And at the end of the day, the stats are very, very scary that we just don't eat enough veggies. So any way you can. Hey, like, for example, you mentioned some cooked greens on your sandwich. One of my favorite sandwiches to go with tomato soup, like we were talking about, is kale grilled cheese. I saute kale and I shove it on my grilled cheese. And so not only am I having my soup with all the tomatoes and onions, but then I'm getting the extra kale in my grilled cheese. And like last night, speaking of cooked veggies, I had a huge, well, my husband made it, a huge pan of nachos that had chicken and beans, very flexitarian. And the base was half chips and half Brussels sprouts and cauliflower, your favorite. And so it had, you know, a little bit of chips, but mostly a little bit of the chicken and beans, but mostly all of these veggies. So you can basically put more vegetables in every single thing you eat. And that would do not only wonders for weight, but also for overall health and longevity.
That sounds like a good nacho setup. Do you like those bag-o salads that you can get, you know, where everything is already in the bag?
Oh my gosh, yes. I mean, please cut and clean all of my veggies for me. So I love that convenience. You know, it can cost a little bit more. So with food prices as they are, you know, if you are somebody who is like, oh my gosh, it's so expensive, buy your own greens, you know, wash them and clean them. But if you can afford that convenience, go for it.
But those salads
help you eat more.
But they're so delicious. And I think, okay, somebody's cheating here. And like it had a little packet of bacon sprinkles and it had a dressing that made it all so damn good. I thought, this can't be right. What do you advise us about that?
It's great. I mean, at the end of the day, it's mostly vegetables. It's a little bit of those goodies like dressing or bacon or, you know, other like little pieces of cheese and things in there. The only thing to round it out and make it a full meal is oftentimes needing to add some sort of protein. So the option of, you know, a grilled salmon or even canned tuna or canned wild salmon, leftover grilled chicken from the night before, hard-boiled eggs that you may have in your fridge, something to add protein to if you are intending to have that salad more than just a side dish, but actually as your meal.
One last note from the Wall Street Journal. No, it was the New York Times about changing baseball one snack at a time. And here's what they have in the clubhouses these days. Jerky, Kind bars, Honey Stinger waffles, sugar-free gum. They talk about when mixing carbs with a little bit of fat, fiber, or protein, it helps keep the blood glucose from spiking and provides sustainable energy. So they find things like almonds, dried mango, string cheese, and peanut butter pretzels in the clubhouses. Do you like that menu?
Oh my gosh, you know, I was the Cubs head dietitian 2010 to 2020, 10 years. And when I got there, it was all nacho cheese pumps and ice cream bars everywhere and a huge thing of soda everywhere. I mean, you wouldn't believe it. I thought I was being punked. It was just like so not healthy. And over the years that I was there, we absolutely did the same type of thing. And it's what we all should be doing. It's like having a lot of produce around, so a lot of fruits and veggies, and a lot of protein-rich foods. I always encourage snacks being a combination of produce and protein. So like the protein of jerky, that's, you know, not like your old sort of processed jerky, but like real meat jerky, or the peanuts, or the almonds, or the pistachios, or the sunflower seeds, or the cheese sticks, and the Greek yogurt, all alongside a bunch of different fruits and vegetables. You'd be surprised with a lot of good choices like that. You know, people do end up picking them because they're there.
Dawn Jackson-Blattner, author and registered dietitian, a nutritionist. Follow her, dawnjacksonblattner.com, on the Insta at DJ Blattner. Okay, Dawn, let's talk next week again.
Love it. Can't wait.